This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers. As we continue, as we started the last time, with the studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. This morning I'm going to be studying with you, waiting for the promise of the Father. And we read from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and this is what it says to us. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, what do these verses tell us this morning? They record the final great command that the risen Lord gave to his first disciples and his followers. He had commissioned them to preach the gospel, Matthew 28:19, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's our command. But now, just before his ascension, he told them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said he had often spoken about. In order that we may clearly understand what our Lord was referring to and how the promise of the Father related not only to them but to us, we shall ask and answer three main questions. Number one, what was the promise of the Father? It was the promise of the advent of the Holy Spirit. Who is the third person in the Godhead? One with the Father and the Son. Before Pentecost and in all earlier dispensations, he was working in the world and in the lives of God's people. In the Old Testament, we have instances of his coming upon men and empowering them for special service. So in the Old Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit God would send upon a certain person at a certain time to accomplish a certain task or service. For example, Bezalel, that we find in Exodus 31, and Eldad and Medad, they were the persons that helped in making the furniture and doing all the intricate gold work on the things that were inside of the tabernacle of old. They had great skill in what they were doing, working with gold and other things. And it says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and the Holy Spirit helped them. And then we read about Gideon. Gideon, the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon as God used Gideon to raise an army. Look at Samson in Judges. Samson, who was a judge, and God used him. The Holy Spirit came upon him at a certain time and he was used by the Holy Spirit. And so this far, however, he had come to abide with us in all God's people. He hadn't so far come to live on the inside of us. He came upon, as I've said in the beginning, upon certain people at a certain time to do a specific job or service. And the promise of the Father was the promise that the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost to do a distinctive threefold work in the lives of all Christians, all believers. It was a promise that related to the period of time which we are living in now, the age of the Holy Spirit, the age of the church. It was given through the prophet Joel. And what did the prophet Joel say to us? He said that in the last days, God would pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will have dreams and visions. That's what he told us when we read it. He says, in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon, and I want you to get this morning, upon all flesh. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. And I want us to see that in John's Gospel, chapter 1. This is what we are told in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we read from verse 29. John's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him." That's what he tells us. He saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him, remaining on him. This he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." What a tremendous testimony of John. There we have it recorded by in John's Gospel about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit descending upon him. It was referred to many times by the Lord himself. What do we read again in John chapter 7? John chapter 7, and I want to read these words very carefully to you this morning. John chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 37. And this is what they say to us in John 7, 37. "On the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." Do we get that? You see, it's speaking about something that is still to come. And then we turn to John's Gospel again, John chapter 14, and we read here verses 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." There we have it in John's Gospel. He'll be in you. He will dwell in you. So we have that. And then in John 15, 26, this is what it tells us. "But when the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit comes, I shall send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me, says the Lord Jesus Christ." We turn back to John chapter 16 again, and this is what John 16 tells us again. John 16, verse 6 and 7. "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The Helper, the Parakletos, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Isn't that a wonderful promise? Jesus says, "If I depart, if I go away, I will send him to you." That's what we need to hear again. And then we read also, verses 13 and 14 says, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So the Holy Spirit will come and make Jesus real to you in your life and in your experience of him. He makes Jesus real in our lives. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and we know this very well, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was anticipated by our Lord after the resurrection. What does it say to us after the resurrection? Let us go back to John chapter 20. And this is what it tells us, verse 22. And this is what it says. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there we have it. This was telling them Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is coming. It was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, there it tells us, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it tells us, and began to speak. They began to speak as they were given utterance to speak. They began to speak. The promise of the Father then was the promise that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come in a special way to do a threefold work in the lives of all God's children. These three main ministries of the Holy Spirit would only come into operation at and after Pentecost. And throughout the whole of this dispensation, what were these ministries? Number one, he would come to baptize them all. John the Baptist said that Jesus would be baptized, his people, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Let's read it again from John chapter 1, verse 33. It says this, and I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his people they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when we read Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us this, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It makes us very clear to us. The baptism of the Spirit is to be found in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read this to get understanding. 1 Corinthians 12, and this is what it tells us as we read it. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and filled the 120, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were, up till this time, they were isolated units, but he united them. That's what the Spirit did after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and he united them into one body of Christ. Pentecost marked the formation of the church, the body of Christ. All our fathers were baptized. That's what it tells us. All were baptized in the sea. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. We need to get that by the baptism of the Spirit. Every Christian has been placed, listen carefully, has been placed into the body of Christ. We've been placed. You can't be a lone range Christian. When you come to know Jesus, when you know the power of his Spirit in your life, you are baptized into the one body of Christ, the church. And we need to understand that clearly. He would come to indwell them all. That's what it tells us. We read again in John's Gospel, he came to indwell them all. And that makes it very clear to us. John chapter 14, and this is what it says, verse 16 and 17. It says, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." And where will he be? He will be in you. Notice these words of the Savior, which pointed forward clearly to their fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's what it tells us, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them utterance to speak in one accord when the Holy Spirit came. Who had been seen with them would thereafter be in them. For he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. You got that, friends, this morning? For the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people to do a special work. That's what it came upon them for a certain amount of time. But now Jesus is saying it's changed. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost is poured out, never to be poured out again. And he who had been with them would thereafter be in them, for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. The distinctive mark of a Christian is that he is indwelt by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is true of every Christian from the moment of believing in Christ. Moment we believe in Christ, we come to know the Holy Spirit. What does it tell me? These tremendous words I want to read to you from Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Very encouraging words. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Yes, the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The love of God has been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you." We are the temples. He doesn't dwell in a building. No, he doesn't. He dwells inside of people. He's come to live on the inside of us. He will dwell inside of you and me, because it's now Christ in us who is the hope of glory. Number three, he would come to empower them all. He would be, Luke 24:49 says, "You will be endued." You'll be endued, clothed with power from on high. Acts 1 says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." You shall be witnesses to me. You got that this morning? We're filled in the experience of the first disciples. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we read about it in the book of Acts to see how wonderfully these early Christians were empowered when the Spirit clothed them, when the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, came to live on the inside of them. Number two, why did they have to wait for the promise? They had to wait for God's time. They had to wait for God's timing. Doubtless, the waiting time was a time of heart searching, of earnest prayer. That's what it tells us. And when we turn to Luke's gospel again and we read these words that we find here in Luke chapter 11, and this is what it says to us. Luke chapter 11, and I want to read there verse 13. It says this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. But in God's calendar, Pentecost had to come 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had to wait. And they did wait. And the Holy Spirit came in fulfillment to the promise. Number three, do we have to wait? We do not have to wait. I want to tell you that this morning as a believer, as a Christian. We do not have to wait for the Holy Spirit to baptize us into the body of Christ, because we've already taken place. And if you're a Christian, you'll be put into the body of Christ. We enter into the good of that at the moment we are born again, we come to know Jesus Christ. Every believer has already been baptized into the body of Christ. You got that this morning. You've already been placed into the body of Christ. Number two, we do or may have to wait for the Holy Spirit who indwells us and fills and possesses us. He indwells us. Let me tell you, when you receive Christ, you receive everything. The Holy Spirit comes to make Jesus real in your life, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to indwell you. That's what he does. He doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in us as people. And he will fill you. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk, which leads to debauchery, but ever go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we go on every day, because today's infilling is not sufficient for tomorrow. And tomorrow's infilling, Lord, I leak so often, said Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I leak so often. Fill me afresh. But he can only fill and possess us, my friends, when you and I surrender our lives to Christ, and we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and he comes in, we're baptized into his body, the church of Jesus Christ. He places us in his body, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our lives. He lives within. And you see the question we need to ask. Many people say, I get confused. They ask, where is Jesus now? They say, he's up in heaven. Yes, he is in heaven. He sits on the throne. We have a man in glory this morning, the man Christ Jesus, but he's in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, we do have to wait for the Holy Spirit to empower us for special service. We do not wait for him, but on him, in order that he may endue us with power from on high. Then we become effective. Yes, he will use us. He will empower us by his Spirit. And I want to tell you, once you receive the Holy Spirit, he's a present possession. The moment you receive Christ, he's a present possession. And the Holy Spirit comes to seal that in your heart and in your life. Let us rejoice that the promise of the Father has been fulfilled, and that the Holy Spirit has been given without measure. The Holy Spirit has been given without measure. That as believers, we've been baptized into his body, the church, that we are members of one another. Let us give him the right of way in our lives and be utterly dependent upon him to fill us and with himself and use us for his glory. You know what, my friends? When you come to encounter Christ, when you know him as your personal Savior, when you lead him, every time we leave a church service, we should say, Lord, I'm asking you, with the Christ dwelling in me, how do you want me? What do you want me to do today? How are you going to work in me and through me today to touch other people's lives? How are you going to work in me and through me every day of my life to make a difference in the world I'm living, because it's Christ in me. He lives in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take us, Lord, oh, take us truly, mind and soul and heart and will. Empty us and cleanse us thoroughly, then with all thy fullness fill. Fill us again with the Holy Spirit, that we will make a difference in our world, that because of us, people will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Their lives will be touched by Jesus, but we need to be praying. That's how we honor God. We glorify God. We say, Lord, today you're living in me. Holy Spirit, today work in me and through me to meet the needs of others. You'll show me the way, what I need today to do today. Holy Spirit, guide me, direct me, that I may be used by you. I pray today. You will know that God loves you, God is for you, and Jesus, if he lives inside of you, he lives inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together this morning. Living Lord Jesus, we thank you that when we encounter you, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to make Jesus real in our living for you day by day. And today again, we want to say, fill us afresh. We leak so often in life and we give out so much. We leak, fill us afresh with fresh oil this morning, the anointing of your Spirit, because we've all been anointed by the Holy Spirit to go and tell others about Jesus, to be a difference maker in our world, to touch the lives of people, whether they're sick, whether they're well, whatever it is, to be encouragers, to be there for people, that they will see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and come to know Jesus for themselves. Holy Spirit, lead us. Holy Spirit, guide us. May we hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to us today and encouraging us, each one, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need some counseling, then please phone Radio K Pulpit 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744, or you can contact me, Pastor Brian. And you can contact me from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 and 12 at 021-552-4096, 021-552-4096. God bless you. And have the most incredible day, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and He's leading you and He's guiding you today. God bless you all. Thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.